Boeing's machinists have overwhelmingly rejected.
Let's look more closely at yesterday's vote by Boeing machinists.
Machinists have filed charges with the National
League. You vote on every single offer they get.
It's really been a roller coaster few months for the state's largest private employer. That's Boeing. The fight to keep production of Boeing's new 777X wing in Washington State was emotional and costly. On Tuesday, Boeing and politicians reunited to celebrate the selection of Everett as a location for the wing's production. Seattle Times aerospace reporter Dominic Gates is the man who broke story after story throughout this negotiation process. He attended that celebration, and Dominic told me there was one notable group missing from the party.
The local machinists weren't there to celebrate because I guess they felt they didn't have much to celebrate.
It was an incredibly long and some people think very dirty fight to keep this wing production in Washington State. When you look at it with a little bit of retrospective knowledge, who won?
Well, I think there's no doubt that it's great for the state's economy that 777X is going to be built here. On the other hand, it never made any sense to do it anywhere else. So as this whole thing began, I felt clear in my own mind that this is where it would end up. But it's great that we've got it. Who won and who lost?
Well, who lost, right?
Who lost? Definitely the machinists. The machinists as a union is very much weakened. They're divided among themselves. They're divided between the international and the local. And they've just lost a lot of power. They are a very powerful union, have been a very powerful union for many years. Now they don't even have another contract to negotiate until 2024. I think part of what was really difficult for the machinists is the way it was done. As people put it, Boeing put a gun to their heads and said, give us what we want or we're going to take away your future livelihood.
Clearly, all the negotiations, all the talks with Boeing are important for the workers at Boeing, for the company itself, and for ancillary businesses. But for the rest of us in Washington State, why does this matter?
Why does this matter? This is the most important company in Washington State. It's the largest private employer, but more important than just the sheer number of people that it employs is the fact that the types of people it employs, these are the machinists are guys, many of whom have high school education, and they do incredibly skilled jobs and they get very well paid and they're middle class people with middle class incomes. And if Boeing were to disappear, maybe we'll turn into some kind of IT state where the people who earn a lot of money are sort of software techies with masters and PhDs in mathematics. And then the rest of us can all be satisfied with much less. Boeing gives the Washington State economy a bedrock of middle class income. And it's not just the people that work there. It's all the businesses that serve those employees. And it's the hundreds of suppliers around the state, aerospace suppliers, whose livelihood depends on Boeing, who are here because of Boeing. So I don't think you can understate the impact of the number of jobs and the type of jobs and how drastic and bad it would be for Washington State if that were to disappear.
I'm talking with Seattle Times aerospace reporter Dominic Gates, and let's talk about the implications moving forward. The negotiations between Boeing, the state, and the machinist union, as you mentioned, were hard, and they got very emotional. Politicians weighed in. Many machinists felt that they were being pushed to prove something that they didn't like just to keep this production here. Many machinists in particular were angry about that.
It feels like a slap in the face. Feels like a betrayal because, you know, the machinist union members have put a lot of heart and shoe leather into supporting these Democratic politicians, and they're turning around and trying to force us to accept a bad offer that's really an extortion. People are pretty unhappy because it's really none of their business. They need to butt out.
That was one local machinist we spoke to. His name is David Clay. How, Dominic, would you describe the current relationship between union members like David Clay and local politicians?
Yes, certainly there was a great deal of emotion and hard feelings towards some of the politicians from the machinists. However, I have to say that I don't think in the long term that's going to matter very much to those politicians. We're talking about the Democratic leadership of the state. We're talking about Governor Inslee, Congressman Rick Larson. I mean, realistically, the labor movement doesn't have anywhere to go.
Everybody who's listening, who's followed this, knows it was a very narrow approval, but the machinists did approve that contract. How would you characterize the relationship between the company and the local machinists now?
Well, I think that's where the real problem is for the company. At the celebration on Tuesday, Connor said in time he hoped the wounds would heal. And I'm sure over time that may be true, but it is going to take quite a long time, I believe, because the level of resentment that the company engendered here among their workforce is it's all very negative. People felt extorted, they felt threatened, and I just feel it's really sad because it was always logical that 777X should be done here. You would think that the leadership of the company would want it to be done by a workforce that believes in the company and believes in the mission and wants to do the best. And now we're left in this horrible situation where we got the work, we won, and nobody in the workforce is celebrating.
How important is it that Boeing and the machinists be on good terms?
I think it's very important. I've been writing this week in a separate issue about some of the problems on the 787 program. And so a lot of work is traveling from Charleston to the Everett plant. And who has to do it? Who has to fix it? It's the machinists. The machinists here, the ones who are just so upset right now with what has happened. Boeing depends on them, and they depend on them and will depend on them for years, not only to build 777X, but to get 787 production going smoothly. And I think they've done some damage to the relationship, which time will heal. But I think they must be worried right now as to just how much damage has been done, and I hope they'll work to fix it.
So those are the internal workings. How does what has gone on impact Boeing's reputation externally to the world of business people or governments that they do business with?
Well, I think the whole saga was very high profile, got national attention because Boeing started this state versus state competition. How does Boeing come out looking? What has it done to its reputation? I think it looks like a bit of a bully, and you got to think what do all those states think about it now that having spent a lot of time and effort putting in a bid, then Boeing backs away and says, okay, we're going to keep it there anyway. I don't think the company came out looking great out of this.
I'm with Dominic Gates. He's the Seattle Times aerospace reporter. And we're talking about negotiations with Boeing and what came out of that very long fight to keep production of the 777X here in Washington State. The whole process revealed this split both inside the local union, where the vote was so close, but between the local and the national machinists union. We had labor expert Gary Chasen on, and he talked to us about what happens when unions split, and Chasen believes it makes the union itself weaker.
Well, it not only tarnishes the reputation of labor unions, but it makes the workers choose between their national union or their local union. And as such, someone's going to be a loser, and it's not going to be Boeing in this whole thing.
So when we're talking specifically, that's a look at unions in general from Gary Chasen. But Dominic Gates, when we talk about the machinist union, which faction lost, the national or the local, in this whole thing?
Oh, they both lost. The machinist union, there's no doubt about it, the machinist union comes out of this much, much weaker than it was before this all happened. And the split between the local and the international just makes it worse. We're going to have a new president for the local in a month or so. And I don't know what that new president can do to move forward in terms of negotiating with the company. Well, this has all been negotiated for the next 10 years. In terms of relations with the international, they couldn't be worse. I don't know where the union goes from here to recover its strength. I mean, I've got to think that its members are wondering, what is the union going to do for me now?
The machinists were not the only party that took big concessions. Some people would argue that what the state of Washington did was take one for the team as a collective populace. And I'm referring to an attempt to sweeten that deal. There was a really fast legislative session to pass many billions of dollars in tax cuts for Boeing. And here's what Governor Inslee had to say in urging lawmakers on to this package.
You cannot overstate the consequences on the upside of us winning this war and on the downside for losing it. So I'm convinced that these incentives are a good deal for our state. That's not spin or wishful thinking. This is solid math.
Solid math meant that the lawmakers approved nearly $9 billion in tax break extensions. I'm curious what that means when we try to attract more aerospace work or other kind of industry to Washington State, Dominic.
Well, first of all, Inslee's totally right. I agree with him 100%. That wasn't spin. There couldn't be anything more important to the economy of this state and to the sort of middle class workers that work at Boeing than keeping that future going. So I think there's some misunderstandings among the populace. The state didn't give Boeing $9 billion. They simply extended the current tax breaks, which they've had for 10 years. And not only is there no option, but it's a good investment.
Do we have any guarantee that we're not going to go through this whole angst-filled process in 8 years, 10 years, 40 years?
I think we can guarantee that Boeing will come back to us for more concessions. Maybe not as much angst this next time as this time, only because, like I said, those tax breaks go through to 2040. I mean, the next time Boeing is going to come back to us isn't that far away. Probably by 2018, they'll be launching another airplane and they'll come to the state and they'll say, you know, we would like this and this. And the state will no doubt say yes.
So we've got this work here. But when you look at everything that transpired to keep that 777X production in Washington State, what do you see as the immediate and biggest legacy for us?
Well, the most immediate legacy, unfortunately, is the sad part, the alienation of the workforce. So that alienation, the problems that's going to engender in the workplace, that's the immediate impact. Down the road, we'll see a more positive impact because we'll see the 777X being built here. We'll see this new composite facility, you know, 100 million square feet, billions of dollars going in of investment going into Everett. That's going to be something new there, and it is going to be important. And hopefully it will help us win future airplanes from Boeing. So that's a long-term legacy. In the meantime, in the short term, we have to overcome the resentment caused by the sad approach that was taken, the humiliation and the extortion that people really resented.
Dominic Gates is aerospace reporter for the Seattle Times. So what's the end result of this long battle to land the 777X? Good, bad? Well, as Dominic says, it's a heck of a lot more complicated than that. With Ross Reynolds, I'm Marcy Silman, and you're tuned to The Record here on KUOW.